Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Welcome to the Herd. It's me, Jason McIntyre, back in the driver's seat for Colin Cowherd. I'm flying solo today, ladies and gentlemen. Cowherd, well, you know, we took vacation in the recent week, and let's just say he had some travel issues, so he could not make it back from Iceland. I don't know what that means, but they called an audible this morning. I got the call from the bullpen. J-Mac, come on out, fire some more takes. So here I am. I did host a Saturday morning radio show on Fox Sports Radio for 6 years, 3 hours by myself. So I think I could probably handle this. Heavy lift from the staff this morning needed. But yeah, when you saw that NBA Finals game last night, holy cow, what a disaster that was for the league. Listen, I love the NBA as much as anybody, but let's be realistic. That was a nightmare scenario for the NBA last night. The Denver Nuggets don't even play their best game, and they dominate and win by 11. Now, the spread was 9.5. I told you guys yesterday on the show, had to hammer the Nuggets. A lot of game one evidence points to that after a 7-game series, and Denver dominated. The second half, they led by as many as 24 points. Just an evisceration of the Miami Heat. It kind of left you wondering, can Miami win one, much less two games in this series? And I think it all stems really back to the man in the middle, Nikola Jokic. He was utterly dominant. That's the only word you can use to describe the doughy 6'10 European who was just flashing brilliance left and right against Miami. They had no answers. And, you know, in the morning meeting with the staff, I kept saying, like, you know, Jokic is just so dominant out there. You can't stop him. Denver's now 13-3 in the postseason. They look like, not like an all-time great team, but certainly the best team in the league. And it all runs around Mr. Jokic. And what makes him so special, I believe, is that he is as dominant as Shaquille O'Neal was. Not the best big man since Shaq, but as dominant as Shaq. Now, they dominate in different ways. Shaq just overpowered you. Back to the basket. I'm going to dunk. Everybody knows the famous dunk on Chris Dudley where he dunked on him, just shoves him to the ground. That was Shaq's dominance and overpowering anybody in the game, really. Jokic is different. He is kind of like a Jason Bourne out there, crafty. He's going to point out your weakness. He's going to hold the ball, and he's going to pass. I mean, folks, if you want to be bleak for the Miami Heat, they were trailing by 17 points at halftime, and Mr. Jokic had taken 3 shots. That's it. Like, he doesn't have to score to kill you. He's really an evolved big man, a kind of guy who can step out and hit the three. Hey, we're going to sag back on Jokic. Let's see if he can shoot. Yeah, he can bang threes. We're going to double-team Jokic. That's fine. He's a great passer. The vision, I think Colin has compared him to Arvydas Sabonis, one of the best passing big men ever. And Tracy McGrady was on a Showtime podcast, What's Burning? And listen to what he said about the great Nikola Jokic.
Let me tell y'all something. This dude is so good, man. Straight up. Like, I haven't seen anything like him. Way he passes. You got a 7 foot, 7'1" center bringing up the ball, initiating the offense. The passes that he makes from one side of the court to the other on time and on target. Mm-hmm. The bounce passes in between defenses. You can't guard him on the post because he's too big. He can't jump over a dollar bill. He rebounds. He is amazing.
Yeah, T-Mac, my guy. Huge fan of Tracy McGrady back in the day. And listening to him gas up Jokic, again, we're talking about a guy who can dominate. Now, offensively, he dominates. Defensively, he's not doing much. Shaq obviously was a great defender. And I know 90s basketball fans will say, oh, Shaq was a better defender. He was a better player. Are you sure about that, guys? You watch Jokic in this offense. He had 27, 14, and 10. Made it look easy. And he didn't even play his A-plus game. Again, we're talking about a guy who is unguardable. At one point, the Heat said, you know, we're going to bring Cody Zeller off the bench. We're going to try him on Jokic just to give him a different look. Jokic took him from the perimeter, drove to the lane, literally went through him for the layup and one. And Jokic is the kind of guy, he doesn't have to dunk to dominate you. I don't even know if he's had five dunks in the postseason, but he makes it look easy. And one of the problems, I know it's weird to say this is a problem for the league, is that, and I got a great quote from the movies, audiences love flamboyant people who broke all the rules and paid dearly for it. Obviously, like a Robert Downey Jr. comes to mind. But the first half of that quote, audiences love flamboyant people, really applies to a lot of NBA players. We've got showmen, right? I mean, Magic Johnson, one of my favorite players. Magic and Patrick Ewing were my favorite players growing up. They were extremely flamboyant. Ewing's thunderous dunks in Madison Square Garden, pointing at people, shot blocking, letting them know. Magic Johnson with the passing. Listen, I know Larry Bird was a silent assassin and was a legendary trash talker, but he was flamboyant in his own ways. Isaiah Thomas, the great point guard. These 80s and 90s players were ultra flamboyant. Obviously, we got to mention the great Michael Jordan and what he could do, the shrug against the Portland Trailblazers. Like, audiences love the flamboyant players. And if you look in the modern era right now, Kyrie Irving's not a great basketball player. We know he's a talented one, but he is extremely flamboyant with his layups, his finishing at the rim. You know, this guy, the audiences love the Kyrie Irvings of the world. Steph Curry's hitting from three with the shoulder shrug. They love that. The NBA's best player right now is Nikola Jokic, who is not flamboyant at all. And I say that's a problem for the league because how do you market this guy? Like, he's great to watch. I love him. But we know what the audience likes. You know, the casual fans. They love dunks. They love passes. The deep threes. They like the trash talk. I love that stuff. Jokic is just a killer. He is literally unstoppable. I mean, the Miami Heat said, hey, we need a great series from Bam Adebayo. Hell, we'll take a great game from Bam Adebayo, their center who has been all NBA in his career. Bam Adebayo, when Bam Adebayo scores 20 points, the Heat had been 6-0 this postseason. They're like, we know what Jimmy Butler's going to give us. One of the other guys, one of the undrafted dudes, he's going to deliver. If we can get Bam 20 points, can't lose. Bam Adebayo had his best game of the playoffs, best career playoff game with 26 points. And I guess smashed by Denver. And it was never close. Not for a moment. Don't tell me it was close when they cut it to 9. It was never close for a moment in the second half. So you get everything you want from Bam Adebayo. He had no chance defending Jokic. And you have no chance in the game. Folks, I don't want to sound too bleak for the league. I don't want to sound too bleak for the Miami Heat fans. I know we've got some at this network. Shout out to Joy Taylor. But I'm looking at the numbers here, and Denver has won 11 of the last 13 against the Heat. Miami has not beaten Denver since the bubble. Nikola Jokic literally owns his team. By the way, here we go on FS1 with the Cody Zeller highlight. That was the 1 minute Cody Zeller got in the game. Go look at the box score. Came in for 1 minute and Jokic just attacked him. Said, send that kid back to the bench. And Cody Zeller, awesome college basketball player. But I look at this number. Miami shot 33% from deep. And ordinarily you're like, oh, well, they made 13 threes. That's not bad. Folks, A lot of garbage time baked into that. First half, when Denver raced to that 17-point lead, Miami was 4 of 17 on three-pointers. You cannot do that. And I know we talked about Caleb Martin and the emergence that he had against Boston, where he was arguably their best player with Jimmy Butler. Yeah, Caleb Martin, a little regression to the mean there. Caleb Martin, 1 for 7 last night. Max Strus, the immortal Max Strus, undrafted, can hit 5 threes any night of the week, 0 for 10. Duncan Robinson came in, couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. It was a brutal night shooting, and that's what Miami fans are going to see. Hey, Jokic got his triple-double, but we've still got our guys. They're going to make shots. Guys, I'm sorry, I hate to break it to you. This is who the Miami Heat are. This is what they were in the regular season, the 27th best three-point shooting team in the league. Just because they had a, you know, four-week out-of-body experience in the playoffs where they took down the Bucks with three-point shooting and Jimmy buckets, and then they were able to beat the Celtics with just otherworldly shooting from the perimeter. Like, that's not who they are. This is who they are. And they have no answer whatsoever for Jokic. They even tried the zone, and they had a brief 11-0 run in the fourth quarter that I think cut the 21-point lead to 10. And you know, the announcers, if you were listening, you were like, oh, maybe they can make this interesting. They were begging for a close game. And then as soon as it gets remotely close, here's Jokic on the elbow, dish, Aaron Gordon, dunk. Here's Jokic, pick and roll with Murray, automatic. I'm just saying, like, I know we gas up Giannis Antetokounmpo as the greatest player in the league. We talk, Cowherd loves his Kevin Durant. Obviously, we have LeBron James. Anthony Davis. You guys remember when Cowherd had Anthony Davis as the number one player in the playoffs at one point? Like, let's be realistic. If you're starting a team in the NBA right now, you look at the age, you look at how he dominates, who are you taking over Jokic? I don't know how you make the case for anyone. Listen, remember, Shaq, who is really the most comparison to Jokic because of their dominance, Shaq could not make free throws. He was like 50, 52% for most of his career. Even Giannis against Miami, he was hot potatoing the ball around because he couldn't shoot free throws. I think he missed 17 free throws in that deciding game. Tell me the weakness of Nikola Jokic. Other than maybe he's not flamboyant enough, he's not a great interview. I mean, we're talking about a historically great center, folks, and I don't think the Miami Heat have any answers for him. And I know the league has their issues. We'll get to Ja Morant later in the show. We got some fun James Harden stuff coming up, but you want to celebrate Jokic, and the problem I see is it's a tough sell in the league for an unflamboyant guy who is utterly dominant. Even we've seen Patrick Mahomes go from like quiet, shy guy to he's got some personality. They brought it out of him. Josh Allen's still a little reluctant. Joe Burrow's got his sly sense of humor. I want to see a little more from Jokic on the personality front. Really market him to the league because, folks, he ain't going anywhere, and neither are the Denver Nuggets. All right, first segment in the books. I think I survived so far.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. 90 seconds, all it takes. Use the code HERD. New customers bet $5, that's it, $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Dekovis is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Back here on the Herd, Jason McIntyre in for Colin. Colin should have been in today, but had a travel snafu, if you will. He'll be back on Monday. I don't want to tease it too much, but we have a couple great guests coming up. Eddie House will be here. Chris Broussard, my guy. Maybe we'll do some sparring later in the show. And yes, we will get to Ja Morant. A lot of NFL coming up, too. I'm actually going to give you my favorite five bets in week one. Yes, I go to Vegas every summer. I enter the season-long gambling contest, and I'll be dropping some wagers. So week one bets coming up. But first, I want to go back to the NBA. There was an interesting coaching move this week in the league. And Nick Nurse accepted the job in Philadelphia. And as a preamble to where I'm going with this, I used this quote, I think, two times ago when I hosted the show. I heard it from a philosopher on a podcast a couple years ago, and I'm trying to instill it in my life. It's hard choices, easy life. Easy choices, hard life. And, you know, you don't have to think too hard about this one. If you make the hard choices, right? I'm going to go to the gym every day. I'm going to stay in shape. Even though I don't want to, man, it's a long day at work. I'm going to make that hard choice to go to the gym. And I'm going to make that hard choice to eat right and diet. And, you know, I'm going to put away that pizza, speaking as a pizza lover. I'm not going to eat pizza. I'm going to eat the vegetables. You know, make these hard choices. I know that doesn't sound hard, but trust me, it's hard to say, you know what? Gone out enough times this month. I'm going to dial it back. I want to be productive tomorrow. You make these hard choices to stay in. Avoid some of these vices, you're going to have an easier life. Chances are you're going to have a longer, productive life. And the opposite is also true. You make the easy choices. I take an extra beverage, adult beverage, that is. Stay out till 3, 4 a.m. playing video games and gallivanting. Listen, we all were in our 20s. We all made these choices. Life's going to get hard on you pretty quickly. And the Philadelphia 76ers, through their last two coaches, have made the easy choices. They got players' coaches, Brown, and then Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers especially is a players' coach. I want the players to run things. It's a players' league. Doc Rivers, of course, was a player. Players love playing for Doc Rivers. Doc Rivers has not won a whole hell of a lot since that Boston title, 15 years ago or whatever it was. Doc Rivers is known for some massive playoff flameouts, blown 3-3-1 leads, blew a 3-2 lead this year against Boston with Game 6 at home. And they got their doors blown off in Game 7. So the Sixers have been going with the easy choices, players, coaches. And finally, Daryl Morey has said, I've had enough. He made the hard choice. And then went with Nick Nurse as their new head coach. Now, you know, hardcore NBA fans know Nick Nurse well from Toronto. He won a championship. I've called it for years. The luckiest NBA title ever because, of course, you know, they beat the Sixers on that fluky Kawhi Leonard three from the corner. And then, of course, Kevin Durant plays 11 minutes in the entire series, the finals. Klay goes down. That was a lucky title, but Nick Nurse won the championship. You can't take it away from him. And Nick Nurse is known as a grinder. He is going to hold his players accountable. He's going to work them hard. All those adjectives that describe hard work, grit, resilience. That's what Nick Nurse demands from his players. He had a lot of success with the wings. Remember, they got OG Anunoby. They drafted Scottie Barnes. They liked length on the perimeter. That was mostly during the Curry years where they looked like you had to be flexible and be able to switch everything on the perimeter, so you needed long wings. He's out with that now. He's going to Philadelphia where the players have kind of run amok. Joel Embiid. I wouldn't say he's the most in-shape center in the league. He won MVP. Obviously, he was very good this year. Take nothing away from Joel Embiid. But I think we can all agree the training habits. Now, some of that,
is attributed to his injury history. But the training habits for Embiid, the guy was out of shape a lot. And we know James Harden, who is a very prolific basketball player. He's also a very prolific partier. I mean, there are jokes about strip clubs that have his roster, his jersey in the rooftop at some of these jiggle joints in Houston. Like, he is noted for going out and spending time after hours, living it up and enjoy it, dude. You're a multimillionaire in the prime of your life, hanging out with rappers left and right. Like, I can't blame Harden for that. But if nobody's holding him accountable, well, there's going to be a limit on his greatness, right? I mean, you could count the playoff flameouts for James Harden. You're going to need two hands for that one. He had many in Houston. It was a memorable one against the Spurs. Oh, my God. It was one of the worst ones I've ever seen. He did deliver against Boston twice with two late threes, two huge wins. And then where was he in game 6 and 7? Like, just no show. That's the history of James Harden. Here today, gone tomorrow. And, of course, Nick Nurse was introduced this week as a Sixers coach. So what do you think the tough Philadelphia media did? Well, they kind of grilled him. So here's Nick Nurse being pressed about James Harden in Philly this week.
Do you want James Harden back?
James Harden's a great player.
That didn't answer the question.
Well, I would say this, is that James has a decision to make, and I'd be very happy if he came back.
Not exactly a resounding vote of confidence. I mean, he's saying what he has to say. He's not saying it with a smile on his face. Listen, I'm no body language expert, but he's like slouched and kind of dodgy. I don't know. If I'm James Harden, I watch that. And, you know, there were rumors. I think it was Shams Charania had reported that James Harden wanted Doc Rivers gone. And so the Sixers capitulated, thinking they'll keep Harden. And now they bring in Nick Nurse, and here's how Nick Nurse addresses the Harden stuff. Listen, I'm not trying to knock Harden. I'm not trying to slam Embiid. Two great basketball players from this generation. Yeah, you guys might forget this, but like 5 years ago, people were talking about James Harden as the best scorer since Michael Jordan. He was doing some crazy stuff out there. He was an unbelievable offensive threat, but he always kind of had those letdowns. And now you've got a player who needs to be held accountable by his coach. And folks, my takeaway from the Nick Nurse edition and James Harden's history. Again, history doesn't always repeat itself, but it often rhymes. I would guess James Harden is probably on his way out in Philadelphia. And maybe Daryl Morey and Nick Nurse say, hey, this is what needs to happen for us to get better. Maybe we take one step back to take two steps forward. We get rid of guys who don't want to grind, don't want to be held accountable, and we bring in guys that are going to be tough and resemble our city. You know, Philadelphia is a tough city. I lived outside of Philly for about 7 years with the wife and kids. And we didn't go into Philly a ton. We were kind of New York kids. We lived together in New York. So we would go to New York more often than Philly. But Philly is, as a sports fan, as good as it gets. I mean, they are tough. They hold you accountable. You look at Ben Simmons. And they loved Ben Simmons when they drafted him. Loved Ben Simmons. Big fan of his. I am as well. Kind of reminded me of Magic Johnson at times with his passing and his vision and his triple doubles. Ben Simmons was an all-NBA player. We forget. And he had that moment against the Atlanta Hawks where he drove in Game 7 and made the pass instead of the layup because he was afraid of being fouled. And Philadelphia fans never forgave him. They drove him out of that city. Someone in our morning meeting joked that Philadelphia fans cracked Ben Simmons like the Liberty Bell. And that couldn't be more spot on because Simmons never recovered from that. He instantly was like, I'm done here. I want out. He didn't get a vote of confidence from his teammate or his coach, Embiid and Rivers at the time. And it was just one of those moments where you're like, wow, Ben Simmons is not going to happen. Now, he eventually came back to practice, and I'll never forget this. He had a phone in his pocket at practice. That's how checked out he was. He didn't want to be there. And, you know, images from the practice, you could see the phone lit up like he was on it. It wasn't just in his pocket, but he had been on it. And it was just like, man, they got in his head. And Philadelphia, listen, the city of Rocky Balboa. I'm not going to make jokes about batteries in Santa Claus. But listen, Philadelphia fans are very demanding. And they want a lot. I think Nick Nurse fits Philadelphia perfectly? I don't know that James Harden does. And I think Philadelphia's got a really interesting offseason. If you're ranking the teams the most interesting, Philadelphia's got to be top three, right? I mean, I think the Lakers are certainly up there. It's going to be an interesting offseason in Philadelphia. All right, coming up next, we got a great guest, Eddie House, joining the herd. Let's bring in Eddie House on the Cowherd Global Network. How you doing, Eddie?
What's up? How you doing, man?
I'm excellent, man. I like your shirt. We're kind of matching today. Nice, nice. Listen, man. I know you're a big Boston Celtics guy. Everybody asks you about it. We're going to start. We'll get to the finals in a moment. But I need to open up asking you quickly about the Celtics and that Game 7. I know Jaylen Brown struggled. Tatum had the injured ankle. But I'm just curious your overarching thoughts on Game 7 and then how Brad Stevens instantly handled the Mazzulla situation as well as the Jaylen Brown talk.
Well, it's one word, embarrassing. For the Celtics, the performance they put on out there, the way they played, it was embarrassing. And not only that, you know, the crowd started booing. It was just totally embarrassing because in a game seven, the crowd was ready to erupt. History was on the line either way, and you know, they happened to be on the wrong side of it. But it's just the passion that they played with in that game seven. I felt like it was a lackluster effort. And it was something that they had been dealing with all season long. It was an up and down roller coaster. Sometimes you'll get a great team that's engaged defensively, moving the ball, attacking the ball on the offensive end. And then some games you get a team that just plays five out and passes the ball around on the perimeter, misses a lot of threes, and doesn't have the same effort on the defensive end that it takes to win games. So I would say that it was overall just that game seven was embarrassing.
So what are your thoughts on Mazzulla? Do you think he did enough to save his job down when he was down 3-0? Everybody thought he was getting fired. Then they win three. I don't know how much of it was about him versus just the Celtics kind of waking up, but you think they should have brought him back?
Yeah, I mean, it's like, okay, you get somebody else now. Somebody else has to install their philosophies. This team already, he was a part of the team last year that went to the finals, so he already understood what this team could do, their capabilities. He doesn't have to learn these guys. He knows those guys. I think Brad Stevens doing it right now, you know, getting this out the way. That way there's no rumors swirling in the air. You're not taking this all the way into the NBA draft. You're not taking this all the way into free agency. You're not taking this all the way, you know, summer league and stuff like that. You get it over with right now, and I think the most important thing that Brad Stevens did was make it clear that Joe's our guy, and moving forward, the task is to find somebody that's experienced to get him experienced coach or experienced assistant coaches. So I think that's the way to go. Joe's a young guy, and people give up on youngsters so fast. And so it was his first year. Think about where he got thrown into the fire. 3 days before media day, he's named the coach. So he doesn't really have a training camp to get down with the team or anything like that. First time ever being a head coach, come from sitting in the back row to sitting in the main seat and just learning how to micromanage not only egos, but also the game, understanding when and when not to use timeouts. I thought he got better over the year, over the season at that. So I'm not surprised that Brad Stevens came out and did this, but I'm happy that they got it over with and now that could be behind them.
Eddie House, former NBA world champ with the Celtics. So, Eddie, I've known you for a while. We've done radio together, TV, and I still think my favorite question to you was about that LeBron performance against the Mavs in the finals. Just super mysterious. He just didn't really show up. I look at last night's finals game. Nuggets roll. They lead by 24, double digits entire half. I thought it was a cakewalk. I'm just curious, mm-hmm. Your mindset, when you think back to when you were in that Miami locker room, when LeBron was like, you know, could not solve Dallas, was struggling against Barea. Like, if you're in that Miami locker room after game one, and you just saw what Jokic did, just totally unstoppable, what's the mindset of the Miami players after watching what he did to them and knowing that he's beaten you 11 of the 13 times you played?
I think we got to take a hard look at saying, hey, we might just have to let him go off. He could get 50. We can't allow him to have 15 assists, and it's going to be hard to keep him off the glass because he's a big body. He just understands angles. He understands positioning, and he's always around the rim, and he just has so much size, and he's so skilled. So I think you have to you have to pick your poison with him. You don't want the other guys to get off. And I thought last night everybody had a field day for Denver. And I think the problem with the Heat and this series so far in game one, and it was kind of something that I was thinking about anyway, is Denver plays so fast. And I'm not sure if Miami can keep up with that pace. And, you know, it's just one game. You don't want to overreact for one game. But you do see right there you can't get backdoor cut. Looking at Jokic, you got to stay home. You got to be focused. There needs to be another guy over there tagging. You can't miss assignments with him. If you miss assignments, you're not paying attention to your defensive principles and staying disciplined on the defensive end. You'll get back cut. You'll get dribble handoff. You know, they'll play the pick and pop game, pick and roll game, and you'll be a count late. So you got to try to be a step ahead of them defensively and get a little bit more physical with the guys on the outside. Jokic, you could try to get physical with him, but he's strong. He has great footwork, and he can get a shot off on anybody, but it's the other guys. You know, that's the real focus, is to try to focus on trying to take the other guys out. Don't let Murray get so comfortable, which he's been playing phenomenal basketball. Can't allow him to get comfortable. Michael Porter Jr., keep him off the glass. Can't allow him to get comfortable. Bruce Brown, Jeff Gritt, all those guys that are coming in that are contributing, you got to make sure that you kind of turn their water off or slow it down a little bit.
I just want to point out, you know, I said at the outset of the show that Jokic is as dominating as Shaq was, just in a different way. Now, I haven't gone on social media to see what the rabble-rousers are going to say, but again, I know Shaq was dominant at both ends, Eddie, and you're going to want to yell at me, and Shaq was dunking on people and blocking shots, but again, Jokic against Anthony Davis, who was the best defensive player in the league, arguably in the playoffs, he had 34, 21, and 14 in that game one. And in game four, he ended up with 30 and 14 and 13. Like, I don't want to say he's unstoppable, but because of the passing and the shooting ability, he's pretty damn unstoppable. Do you think he's as dominant as Shaquille O'Neal was?
Well, when you say dominant, yeah, he was as dominant because he was dominating games, right? There was nothing that you could really do. And you could dominate in different ways. Michael Jordan was dominant, but he didn't dominate how Shaq dominated games. And Jokic is doing it a different way than both of those guys. He's doing it passing, rebounding, and scoring. He's definitely dominated these playoffs. I don't know if there hasn't been a better player throughout these playoffs. Everybody's been talking about Jimmy Butler, who had been playing great, but he's had some games where he has some low numbers, where Jokic, his numbers are always is consistent. It's the same. And the fact that your center is the guy that's spearheading your offense is totally different from the way that, you know, we grew up, where the center was a guy you would throw the ball into, and if he was going, you're going to run the offense through him through the post. Well, they're running it through. He's bringing it up the court. He's catching it at the pinch post. He's catching it at the elbow. He's catching it at the nail. So he's doing it in so many different ways. What I just explained right there is dominant. So, yeah, he's just as dominant, but in a different way.
Hey, I got to give a shout out to my guy, Jamal Murray. It's almost like he's an unsung hero. Eddie, one of the craziest stats I've seen is that he's never been an all-star. He's like a 16-point-a-game guy in his career in the regular season, and in the playoffs, it's like 25. And last night, he's just making effortless shot after effortless shot. All the shine goes to Devin Booker. I don't know, man. I think Jamal Murray is really one of the better shooting guards, point guards, whatever you want to call him, in the league. And it's like Jokic is so good that it's almost like Murray is underrated, if that's even possible.
Well, I mean, if somebody's not watching basketball, they might consider him being underrated. But if you understand the game and exactly what they do, without Jamal Murray, Denver Nuggets aren't the same basketball team. You need Jamal Murray out there. He's that second guy. He's a guy that him and Jokic, when they go and pick and roll, is that right there is damn near unstoppable because you don't know what to do. Right there, Bam is in a drop coverage. He doesn't want to leave Jokic because Jokic can shoot. Murray ends up getting to the floater. And then Murray has his one-on-one game. So he can do it in the pick and roll, and he could also do it, you know, ISO basketball. If you need a guy to go get a shot, he goes get it. And to your point about him never being an all-star, well, you said the numbers. In the regular season, 16 points. But in the postseason, 25. Well, you don't become an all-star by what you do in the postseason. You become an all-star. You become a superstar in the postseason, but you become an all-star in the regular season by putting up some big-time numbers. And, I mean, I would rather have a guy show up in the playoffs than show up throughout the regular season and then the playoffs come around and he's missing in action.
Totally agree. All right, Eddie, just breaking news that they just sent me here, according to Sham Sharania. I know we haven't prepared this question for you, but the Suns apparently are hiring Frank Vogel. The new head coach in Phoenix is Frank Vogel, who was ousted in L.A. by LeBron James, according to many people. Frank Vogel, listen, I know he coached in Orlando when they missed the playoffs, but he was pretty damn good in Indiana when they had Paul George, David West, Roy Hibbert. I think Vogel's a good coach. He's defensive-minded. What do you think this means for the Suns? Kevin Durant famously went on, I think it was Instagram or whatever, with Kyrie Irving, was like, we don't need a coach back in Brooklyn. Just any initial thoughts when you hear Frank Vogel to Phoenix?
I think that's good for Phoenix. That's a good hire for Phoenix. I thought Monty Williams was, you know, kind of unfairly let go. Twice in 4 years, he was a coach of the year, NBA coach of the year. But, you know, things happen. New ownership comes. They want to get their guys in, want to get their people in. And that's understandable. I think Frank Vogel is a great hire for them because you said it, the defense, he's a defensive-minded coach. They got enough offense over there. Their problem was getting stops when they needed to get stops. And so I think this is a really, really good hire. I was thinking Frank Vogel, if he didn't get a head coaching job, that he could possibly be the head assistant, the number one assistant over with the Celtics. But, you know, obviously that's not happening. But I think that's a really, really, really good hire, especially for guys like Devin Booker, Kevin Durant. I'm not sure what they're going to do with CP3. But at the end, and DeAndre Ayton as well. So I think that it's a great hire for the fact that it's a defensive-minded coach and they got plenty of offense over there.
It just happened. So what do you think this means for DeAndre Ayton, who kind of fell out of favor, but Vogel has liked tall defensive centers, going back to Hibbert, Anthony Davis. Remember, they picked up Dwight Howard for the run in the bubble. I think they had JaVale McGee on that Lakers team too. So Vogel likes his big rim protectors. Do you think there's a chance they keep Ayton?
Well, I wouldn't give up. I wouldn't want to get rid of Ayton just for the reason that, I mean, he's a walking double-double. What did he give you, 16 and 12 or 16 and 10 on a career so far? So those are very good numbers. You just got to try to find a way to motivate him every night to bring that out. He has nights where he shows up. He has nights where he doesn't. And, I mean, he's still young. So, you know, to give up on a guy that's so young like that. And I think it was him and Monty had some kind of friction, it seemed like. And sometimes a new coach is just like is new scenery, right? It's just like having a new place that you're going to as far as a team, because you do have a new coach, new philosophy. And now they can learn. Vogel has to learn him. He has to learn Vogel. I just wouldn't give up on DeAndre Ayton. Too young.
Speaking of giving up, this is a tough topic, Eddie, but this Ja Morant situation, some of the comments from Adam Silver yesterday. I don't really know how to handle this, but when the commissioner comes out and says, yeah, we kind of know what we're doing with Ja Morant. We uncovered some more stuff, but we're not doing it until after the finals. We don't want to take the shine away from the finals. Some are taking this to mean this could be like a 50-game suspension, depending on what they uncovered. You could argue Ja Morant embarrassed the league with his dog and pony show. I'm repentant. I'm cleaning up my act. I'm going to go away for a week and then try to come back so I could get to the All-NBA and make that money. I don't know, man. Your initial thoughts on Ja Morant? I don't know if you've talked to people around the league about this yet, but what's your sense of a suspension?
I think it's going to be lengthy. There's no way. And even though we're talking about it today, so we are taking some shine off. Commissioner Silver said he doesn't want to take shine off the NBA Finals, but he spoke on it, and people are talking about it today. So it's taking a little bit of shine off of it. And I think that is another thing that you can use when you're going back into it. It's like, hey, man, this is stuff that has been lingering throughout the finals. It hasn't just been about the NBA and the basketball. We've been talking about you and holding a gun. And I think it's unfortunate for him, because now he's a role model, believe it or not. I mean, if he wants to believe it or not, like, a lot of kids look up to him, a lot of youngsters. You got to give a shout out to Simba, the rapper, who kind of sent a message out to him. And it was a solid message, man. It was for real. And I think that, you know, Ja has to take a long look in the mirror and look at his surroundings. Whoever's around him, who's ever allowing this, who's ever recording this after this, they're not your partner. They're not your friends, because if they were, they will be making sure that you're not in a situation that you are in right now. They'll make sure they do everything to keep you out of those type of situations. So it's unfortunate because he's super talented. I mean, he's box office. You're going to pay to see him. You're going to watch to see him play. He does amazing things on the basketball court. And he's young, man. That's the one thing. He's young, very, very young, getting a lot of money. We all make mistakes. I remember when I was that age, I made plenty of mistakes as well. But he has to learn from them. And he has to be sincere with what he's doing. Like, not just saying it and then go back and revert back to what you're doing. You got to really be looking to change, because you got generational wealth, man. And you ready to trick it off for you know, for a gangster lifestyle, and you a hooper. He's a hooper, man.
You so know, when you were screwing around, we could wrap up with this. When you were screwing around and you know, being a young rich guy enjoying life, did any NBA player pull you aside and be like, "Yo, Eddie, clean it up, man"? Anybody do that?
Oh, I'll tell you, it was Pat Riley that did that. He called me in his office one time and was telling me that I was, you know, I was kicking it too much. I was out in the clubs too much. I was hanging out, and he told me that he don't want to be known as that. So I'm calling you in here to let you know. And that's why I owe everything, my 11-year career, to that Miami Heat and organization and Pat Riley, because without that, I'm not sure if I play 11 years. It gave me a sense of professionalism, how to be a professional, how to carry myself as a professional, how to have a work ethic as a professional. So sometimes it's you know, getting with the right program, getting with the right organization, and having the right mentorship.
I got to ask another one now. So when Pat Riley calls you into his office, did you know what it was about? And instantly were you like, oh my gosh, what am I doing?
No, I just knew it was something, because he ain't calling you in your office for nothing. it was, you know, my first year or my second year. So I was relatively young, and, you know, to hear that, it was a shock.
Damn. All right. I'm proud of you, man. You cleaned it up and you crushed it and you ended up winning a title. Like, that's awesome, man. Congrats. Eddie House, NBA champion, NBA analyst here at Fox Sports. Enjoy the weekend, Eddie.
All right, you too, man. Be safe.
Good stuff from Eddie House. Pat Riley calls me into an office. I'm probably a little nervous. All right, coming up next, John Lynch. Remember we talked about this guy yesterday? GM of the 49ers. He's got praise for more 49ers quarterbacks, but it wasn't who you'd expect this time. It's J-Mac in for Colin. It's The Herd here on FS1 and Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental health podcast. And each week, we try to help turn our mental health issues into mental wealth. And we dive in with everyone from the world of sports and entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. So each week, listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer, a mental health podcast on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
The 82-game preseason is in the books. It's finally time for the real season. Don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and more. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code is HERD. New customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. $200. That's code HERD only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21+, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
This festival and concert season will be all about the boots. And Tecovas is your stop before attending your next concert. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots made by hand, time-honored tradition with timeless styles, always on trend. They have first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Plus, their direct-to-consumer pricing keeps value on your feet and money in your pocket. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and a friendly staff are at your service. If you can't make it to a store, visit Tecovas.com, T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com, and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Jason McIntyre here on The Herd, in for Colin Cowherd. First hour nearly in the book. Second hour, we got Rick Bucher stopping by. Remember yesterday I was workshopping stuff with Rick Bucher? That was fun. We'll be doing more of that next hour. Real quick, I wanted to talk about an interesting topic. We hammered this yesterday, the 49ers and John Lynch and his quarterback situation. So a quick story and a brief one. So I had started this website, The Big Lead, and it was started to grow. Everything's going great. I'm bringing in the hiring. I'm doing all the everything, the P&L report. And finally, we're starting to get acquired by a company. So they wanted to rent us with the option to buy. And at that point, they thought, maybe we've got some leverage here over Jason. So they tried to push one of their guys on me. Hey, Jason, hire this guy. He's really good. I was like, whoa, hold on. I'll be in charge of the hiring. I know what kind of guy I'm looking for to write about sports, to work, to grind. And I talked to their guy, and he's not really my kind of guy. And I wanted to bring in my own guys. And I ended up, you know, holding out and winning, if you will. And that battle of push and pull, management, ownership, like, it is difficult. And what's going on in San Francisco right now, folks, I'm telling you, there is something simmering beneath the surface. Listen to John Lynch this week on Sirius XM on Trey Lance, the guy they traded up for but never plays.
We're extremely high on Trey. The great thing for Trey and for Sam Darnold that we brought in is, you know, with Brock off to the sideline, Brock had his first session throwing the other day, and everything's tracking great. But those guys have got the work in the offseason, and they're both relishing that opportunity. Really proud of Trey. Trey came back off a broken and dislocated ankle, and he's out there, has had a really, really quality offseason. So we still remain very high on Trey.
I'm just befuddled. What are we doing? Why is he talking in May and June about his quarterback leader? Brock Purdy's the leader in the clubhouse. He just started throwing again. Oh, I'm really proud of Trey. He's coming off that nasty injury. It was gruesome. You could see the ankle bent the wrong way. And he's been great. Like, why are you doing this? Unnecessary problems heaped on young quarterbacks. Trey Lance, I'm looking here. He started 4 games in 2 years. They add Sam Darnold. Do you think they went and signed Sam Darnold for a reason? I think we had Albert Breer on here yesterday. And like, dude, that was like one of their first moves in free agency. We got to bring in another quarterback. Well, why? I totally don't understand the need to all of a sudden reveal what's going on with your quarterbacks. By the way, have you heard a damn thing about what's going on with Zach Wilson in New York? Nope. All about Aaron Rodgers. We know he's a starter. You know, if you have the starter, fine, talk about him. If you don't know what you have, and the 49ers clearly do not, I wouldn't rule out Sam Darnold starting week one, and Brock Purdy's maybe inactive if he's not ready coming back off the injury. But what if Trey Lance, folks? What if Trey Lance is not ready and he's inactive? It's getting messy in San Francisco. All right, coming up next hour on The Herd, Rick Bucher tells you if the Heat are done after game one, and I'll give you my 10 most improved NFL teams, and the Jets are not first.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.
You know that feeling when you walk into your home, take a deep breath, and feel new? Well, that's what it's like to use Clorox Scentiva. Because Clorox Scentiva smells like coconut, cleans like Clorox, and feels like energy. It'll elevate any cleaning routine to not just clean, but also make every room smell like a tropical coconut getaway. Discover how Clorox Scentiva's powerful clean and refreshing scents can transform your space. Get yours in coconut or other fabulous scents at a nearby retail store.